Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the HR Leaders Podcast, the show where we explore the future of work with industry experts and HR executives from the world's leading global brands. Today, we're joined once again by my good friend, Gustavo Canzon, who's the Vice President of People Analytics at Strider Electric. Welcome to the show, Gustavo. How are you?
Excellent, Chris. Hi, everyone. I hope everybody is having a good day, keeping well, and having my coffee here.
You definitely got your Winnie Award for the best headset so far. And a t-shirt. Give us a whirl with a t-shirt, Gustavo.
Thank you, guys. Yeah, it's time to support, you know, justice for all. So,
And I love the back of the t-shirt, which many people may not get, but give everyone a tour of the t-shirt. Black Fathers Matter. So that was a good shout out for me. Obviously, I have my wife's black and I have a mixed race daughter, so I appreciate that.
Yeah. And I want to commend you again, Chris, because when I saw your post about what is happening around the world, I was very moved by what you said. So I want to make sure everybody knows that this is a time to take the right stand. And I think this is the opportunity for us to make a difference. So this is a platform that I can speak. And obviously, I want everybody to know where I stand on this again. So thank you for the opportunity, Chris.
That's all right, man. I appreciate that. It was very emotional, as you probably saw in the video. It's tough. It's difficult to for a white male in this environment as well. Many people are just kind of too afraid to speak up and say something in case they say something wrong, which is what I said in the video. But not saying anything at all is the worst thing you can do as well. So we just need to make sure that we're all in this together. So I appreciate your feedback and your comments as well on the post. What are you drinking? What you got in that? It's like the most fanciest coffee cup I've ever seen before. what have you got in there?
This is what happens when you don't have your whole coffee headset, and this is all I got. So I am actually, as you know, in transition because I'm renovating my place. So this is what we got today. But
you're drinking coffee with a straw. Is that?
Yeah, not to mess with the microphone too, you know. I don't want to mess up with the audio.
No problem. But for those that aren't aware of you, Gustavo, because we've spoken before quite a few times now, tell everyone a bit sort of a quick intro of who you are, your background, and to where we are now.
Excellent. So first of all, I am Gustavo Canton, as Chris mentioned. I am born in Panama, in Central America, and I live in the U.S. since 2003. I've been in analytics all my career, pretty much, in different aspects. And I think this is very relevant to today's discussion because I've been on the marketing side, on the strategy side, also on the business continuity side, where I used to work in my career. I started in Sam's Club, then Walmart. And now since 2017, I moved into the people analytics division for Schneider Electric. For those who don't know, Walmart, obviously, is a big retailer with 2.2 million employees. So I came from a very mature organization. And these kind of situations of disruptions, obviously not at the scale of a pandemic, we actually have to study and understand the impact to the business and the group and the supply chain back in Walmart. So I have some insight on what it takes for us to actually do work on this. And that's one of the reasons I call the function people analytics and not HR analytics, because we have to take care of the people, meaning our workforce, but also our customers as well. It's all connected.
Mm-hmm. Love it. And what when we spoke a few weeks ago, when did this all click for you? Obviously, the title of today's episode, Dare to Disrupt or Get Disrupted. So people listening are like, okay, where are they going with this? Give us some context.
Certainly. So just so everybody knows, Dare to Disrupt is one of those hashtags or one of those values that we have in Schneider Electric. And the reason being is that we are encouraging our employees to be more disruptive and innovative, right? And I think it's a good thing to have. But especially on times of disruption, if you are not bold and innovative, what happens is you always get behind and you see opportunities and vulnerability. So one of the things that we are seeing in Schneider Electric and many companies is that especially if you have a large global organization with hundreds of thousands of employees across the world in many countries, it's very difficult to actually get the data to do the analytics or basic reporting to support decision making for the business. And not only, again, for, I'm not talking just for HR, this is beyond HR. To give you an example, we are right now looking to data for facilities and real estate. And the process that we used to have today to gather data was very manual. And now we're trying to automate that process because we need to make decisions on when people can be working, in which facilities, which days of the week we have certain capacities, and all these are very different questions to the questions that we typically have to answer before. And ergo, it requires a different mindset, a different structure and governance for us to make that happen. So the title of today is based on that. Does that answer the question, you think?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And I know you wanted to share some sort of some slides for context, right?
Correct. So if you're okay, we can do that first and have so you can see what I'm seeing. And before I go to that, I just want to say that many organizations, I know that we are going through a lot of pain. And as we're going through all this pain, this impacts our budgets, impacts our people, hours, and so on. And I was one of the people who thought in the beginning, you know, maybe we need to reprioritize and slow down. But as I'm seeing more and more industry data and some of our internal data and the internal need, I'm actually coming to the opposite conclusion, which is now we have to dare and keep disrupting and accelerating. So that's why I want to show you some of this. For those on the comment section, if you have insights or information that you think you can share with me as well or with others, feel free, because that's the whole point of doing this podcast, is for us to share together and to learn. Okay. So everybody knows that we are dealing obviously with the pandemic. But also for those who are not perhaps, I mean, this goes to many different countries. There is also a huge component with a financial crisis that is coming in. And I see what is happening in the US, for example, is very scary. The figures and the indicators that I'm seeing today, not to mention also what we discussed earlier in the podcast, Chris, with the social unrest, right? There is a lot of social unrest, not only in the US, but also across the world. So this is a huge time of disruption. The main thing that I want everybody to take from this is that every one of us are into this business continuity piece. And for everybody, they should be a concerted effort to make this a priority for your business, regardless of which function you are, finance, marketing, safety, real estate. And obviously us in People Analytics, we feel that we have a very important responsibility, because obviously, if we are not able to take care of for the well-being and the safety of our people, then what's the point of the function in the first place? Okay. Now, I will tell you, with all these things that are happening, I want us to think about also on how a society is basically rising through the challenge. I am an optimistic person, and I believe that wisdom comes along through suffering, meaning that this is also an opportunity for us to change the way we do things and accelerate how do we work together. And we have seen, based on this effort, for example, in my organization, many silos have been broken and many things have been accomplished because this is happening today. And in this light, I'm showing, this is a news report that I saw where about 28,000 plus volunteers are basically putting their well-being on the line because they want to volunteer to actually do the experiment for a vaccine. To come through faster and accelerate all the design of experiments, basically. So this gives me a lot of hope, and this is showing us that our generations are basically stepping up to the challenge, and they are putting their health on the line for the bigger society. So this is great to see. And as I mentioned, I mean, these transformations that are occurring, and every time there is a disruption, I saw this with Katrina. I saw this when there was the Fukushima nuclear accident that happened in Japan. You know, there are all these disruptions that has happened throughout the years. I see how organizations come together and rally around a common cause and get things done. The question is, are we getting things done the hard way, or are we getting things done on the hard way? And I believe, you know, most of us were not prepared for such a disruption of this magnitude like COVID-19, obviously. So, you know, there is a lot of vulnerabilities that are coming to the surface. But now, everybody, I'm sure, is familiar with Harvard Business Review, this report that talks about empowering frontline workers. The reason this is very important today is because we hear about, okay, what are those roles or those instances that really need to be empowered? Or what is, these are key processes that we need to maintain running at all times? And also, what are the employees or the workforce that is going to be interacting with the customers? We need to move our model from analytics. And instead of looking at reporting and tools just for executive through within the vertical, let's say HR, finance, and so on, we need to put that aside and understand what do we need to do to really empower all the way to the front line. In this case, you can read 87%, they think they will be more successful if they are empowered, and 86% of it comes through better technology-enabled insights. This is one of the huge barriers that we have today, in my opinion, is that we have technology at home that we use, which is very different sometimes to the technology that we have within our organizations to give to our executive or to leaders or even our workforce in general. And that's a gap that we need to close quickly, because we need to close it, as you can see. The other point I wanted to bring really quickly is that, as you can see, the need for self-service analytics and BI reporting has actually been trending upwards, and that's going to continue. So again, we need to figure out ways to empower our employees and give them the right tools so they can actually look at data. This slide is actually coming from the Azure Analytics think tank. And it, you know, what it's basically showing is that 82% of organizations are still stuck on the reporting maturity phase. And I count myself in that, because even though we can do advanced analytics for many use cases specifically within HR, when we look at business continuity across the board to answer some of the questions that I posed in the beginning of the podcast, we are still basically trying to get the basic reporting. The most difficult part, as usual, is to manage the data, clean it, and so on. But we don't want to stay there. We are trying to work and put in the business case and automate things and invest in technology so we can get into the more predictive, prescriptive areas, which, as you can see, only 18% of organizations are into the prescriptive component. One big thing that we're doing this year, and I want us, you know, to think about this, I have been in Schneider Electric for almost 3 years. And when I came into organization, my mission is to transform the function and to basically build the function. Initially, it was a group of different people in different entities trying to do analytics in a disjointed way. Now we're trying to obviously verticalize it, have more centralized, better tools, better talent. You know, everything has matured and changed over the years. So I'm happy to see the transformation. But when you and I, Chris, did our first podcast, which was about use cases for advanced analytics,
yeah,
there is a huge change between, I think that was 2018 until now. Now we're actually implementing AI. And this is an effort that has been laid out since 2017. It's been a long road for us to be there. It took a lot of perseverance. It took a lot of sponsorship and support from our CHRO. Shout out to Charisse Le. And also from our team to make sure that, you know, we educate the organization and we get the buy-in from, you know, privacy, legal, or Schneider Digital team. There has been a lot of support for this to happen. So this is not a Gustavo accomplishment. This is a group of a lot of people and teams and leaders who have helped us get to this stage. But it's very important for us to get to this stage because, like I showed you, 87% of people want us to actually give them the right technology for them to make decisions. And this is where AI comes into play. AI, there are many ways to use it, but to free up our energy should be right now one of the top priorities, especially considering that for 2021, a lot of organizations are going to continue to make reductions in workforce or decisions that has multi-million dollar implications or euros, however you want to call it, in terms of facilities and real estate and tools for people to work remotely. There is a lot of different things that are coming out of this disruption that we need to take into account. So I am happy where we are. I'm happy that we're well positioned. I want to keep accelerating even more. And I want all of us who are in the people analytics functions to keep helping us together to build these cases and keep maturing the organization so we can actually, in the end, keep our employees and our customers safe and the business keeps running, right? So that's the main intent.
Well, where next though, Gustavo? So where have you started after you've taken time to assess the landscape, see where we are? What's the next steps for you and the team then moving forward?
The number one thing that we are doing is kind of socializing all these data points across the organization with a group. We have like a council that we put together with a governance, right? Because we need to have safety, real estate, communications, all these different players working together. And that has become a program by itself. Like I said, this is my number one priority for the year. I think the second component is just today, I have 3 different meetings on this topic because this is coming from all directions, right? Sure. There are people asking from it from the safety team. There are people talking about it from the
station. What are they asking for, Gustavo? What are they specifically asking you for?
I am asking for us to look at the pot of money or the budget resources that we have for the year, and instead of prioritizing by function, meaning sales, finance, HR. I want us to look at, okay, what are the questions?
This episode of the HR Leaders Podcast was brought to you by our friends at Achievers. Two-thirds of employees have one foot out the door in 2024, and the top reason to job hunt? Better compensation. But money isn't everything. The Achievers 2024 Engagement and Retention Report reveals that employees crave emotional salary too. What does emotional salary mean? And what are the ways to increase emotional salary to engage and retain top talent? Learn more about motivating your employees beyond just pay by visiting achievers.com/HR leaders. Again, that's achievers.com/HR leaders. Let's get back to the episode.
Questions that are more critical to answer across the board, and let's prioritize those resources. Because I'll put it to you this way. Let's say we have €1 million. The typical way budget runs, we say, okay, you are in the sales team. We're going to support you with the customer piece. But we don't think about, okay, if you want to support the sales team, you need to have these facilities with these employees and put it all together. And sometimes that gets lost in the translation. So the way you assign resources for data architects and developers might not be the optimal way based on what you're trying to accomplish. This is a new way of thinking, and ergo, we need to rechange the way we prioritize the effort.
It's a big change. It's like fundamentally changing the entire makeup of how it works.
Yes. And again, this is my opinion. It might sound a little provocative, but I also think this will change the way people look at the HR analytics functions. Because you see the role we have to play, right? We have to be connected with everything. It might make more sense for some organizations to have people analytics on their strategy directly, corporate strategy directly, as opposed to HR or as opposed to IT, like many organizations have it. In our case, we have it on their HR services, right? But this is something that CEOs, CHROs that are listening to this discussion, you might need to start thinking about this, because there are other companies who had already a governance in place, and they might have people analytics on their HR, but they have been working with this governance for years. Companies who are starting this process and are large organizations, it's going to take a long time for people to know how to coordinate, to be able to get access to the data, to get privacy and legal, to understand why you need to blend data from all these different 10 teams to do this one report. You know, this is a huge learning curve. So to me, it might make more sense to change the organization as opposed to just work on the governance and learn from that. I don't think we have time to waste. Like I said, we are getting disrupted, so we need to act very, very quickly.
I want to just jump into LinkedIn for a second, because there's quite a few comments, Gustavo. So I just want to jump in there. A few people did say, though, that budget and size of company does decide how fast you can move into predictive analytics. Would you agree on that?
Yeah, I do agree. Yeah. And what I will say is that we also have a responsibility in analytics, right? Because we are good with data. So we need to show the leaders the gap between what they are seeing and what is actually happening, you know, because a lot of this work is already happening in the background, but there is no visibility across the board. And you have an executive, he will say, hey, Chris, I want this report by, you know, on Friday. They don't understand that you have to go to 20 different payroll systems or 5 different, sales systems to get the data, put it together. You know, they don't understand what it takes. So it's our responsibility to kind of show the business case and the gap, and what do we need to do to close that gap.
And Peter said as well, hashtag free up your energy. She loves that. Essential for employee experience and well-being. So I think everyone agrees with you on that one. And Alana said, completely agree. We need to keep the acceleration going to support the digital transformation as well. So I think you're definitely striking a nerve with everyone, Gustavo. So how are you sort of kickstarting the initiative? Because as I said, it seems like it's fundamentally changing the makeup of how the business operates. So how do you prioritize where to start first with this? What steps have you taken so far?
Yeah, so far, like I said, we formed our council. We have started establishing the governance in place, and we outlined what are the main questions that we're trying to answer. Right? Because so people understand, what are we solving for? That's obviously super important. And I already started socializing the business case. I show you some of the data from the industry, but we have data also internal on what is happening within Schneider Electric to show the leaders what can we do. There are some things that we already have automated. We have gone from processes that it took us sometimes weeks to days, and there are some processes that took us days to seconds now because of the way we do things. But like I said, one of the main things that I'm excited is this people analytics intelligence portal. because having all this data in one place is one thing, but having the right tool for us to power it is going to make a huge difference. And the AI will allow you to not only get a pre-built report, which is what most traditional BIs do, but it will allow the user to actually go in and ask why, and explore and look at it in a much more user-friendly way than the traditional tools that are out there. So that's kind of the intent that we have. And we are piloting this in North America for now. And based on that pilot, then, which I'm confident is going to go well, we're going to expand to the rest of the countries.
Is this something you've built personally or on the back of another piece of platform that you've worked with to add to? Like, what is this something you built yourself with the team?
This is a very complex platform that we're using. And based on the need that we have, I will tell you 80% of the stuff that we get the request, if we have the bandwidth for the team in terms of the skill set, we can put together because we have a very technical and diverse skill set. But there are some things in this case. This is a technology that is obviously, it's called ThoughtSpot. And that's basically the name of our vendor. Mm-hmm. And basically, we call it the People Analytics iPortal because the intelligence that it provides you with this vendor, it will take us a long time for us to do that in-house. And this is something that coincidentally, not only I am looking in like the HR function, but other areas like, you know, customer service and quality and compliance, you know, other teams are looking at it and coming up with the same conclusion, basically. So it's good to see that others in the organization are pushing the right direction.
Okay. So was it ThoughtSpot? ThoughtSpot.
ThoughtSpot. Yep.
Okay, cool. Yeah. I know everyone's going to be Googling that now. just go back a second. You know, you mentioned all the leaders coming to you with these questions. What are the most common questions?
One of the main questions that we're getting is, hey, who are we losing in terms of the top talent? Like, you know, we have all
these. Who are we losing?
Who are we losing? Yeah, like global, like you said, let's look at our top talent organization. Who is leaving and why? Another question is, and this is to me something that we were not thinking 3 months ago, is what facilities do we need to keep leases agreements or not? I mean, think about it. We used to have less than 10% of our workforce working remotely. And in a period of time, we went to 70% plus. And now the question is, who should go back to the office? What offices do we need to have? And we have very expensive real estate in places like Hong Kong, yeah. Beijing, UK, you know. So yeah. It's definitely a very good question to assess right now to see where do we want to spend our assets. That's why I keep saying this is not just an HR thing. This is a business, a whole business. Yeah.
How are you gathering the data on that? What does that look like?
Right now, it's a lot of disjointed systems. And, you know, imagine somebody, they send the data to somebody on our team. We basically use a tool called Alteryx to clean all the data and then do the automation for the modules to get the output that we want. And we show graphs and we show, you know, by day, what are the upper and lower limits of people in certain facilities to make sure that we are complying with the guidelines. Because again, this is a very complex issue. Different countries have different guidelines, different industries have different guidelines, different cities or different states, even in the US, you know, we have all these different guidelines based
we're
on
open over here, we're closed over here.
Yes.
Yeah.
I was going to comment. I don't know if you heard this, but in the UK, for what I heard, there might be a reduction from where we is today in terms of the global offices or the headquarters. Is going to maybe be 30% of the capacity that we have today for the future. I don't know if that's going to hold because there is a lot of components that impact this, politics, policies, you know, there is a lot of stuff that happens. But, you know, that will give you an idea of how much organizations need to have changed the mindset. And in a way, I am happy that managers are waking up to the fact that people, if you give them freedom, they actually might work harder.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. Yeah.
That is a huge thing. In our organization, in Schneider Electric, we are very advanced on this topic. But I'm telling you, in Walmart in 2012, I was one of the first individuals from the corporate global home office who was working remotely embedded to the operations in Atlanta, Georgia. That's how I came here in the first place. But it was not a well-known practice. And over the time, we start actually doing that and hiring. And I'm very comfortable today on the way we operate. I have people in Asia, Europe, the Americas, and everybody knows what they're supposed to be doing. Everybody knows how to connect. We know how to work remotely. So it was not a big learning curve for us, but I'm sure for other companies and other managers, this was a very painful process. And this is a message for all those managers and all those leaders. please take the wisdom that you got from this painful process and retain it. Don't go back to the practice or habits or the old ways. Allow your teams to work remotely. Obviously, there should be freedom and there should be case-by-case individuals based on your performance. But, you know, take this as a learning and keep building upon that. Let's not go back and just, you know, pre-COVID and keep that all mindset. It doesn't make sense anymore.
Yeah. No, you're right. Even in a small company like mine, we've seen the benefits of working remotely. And obviously, I do miss the team and seeing them. And we will have some face-to-face. We're definitely not going to go completely remote because I'd enjoy just being in a room and the energy and the buzz of the team. But, you know, personally, being able to spend more time with my family and my little girl, Robin, and my wife as well. Because normally by the time we both get home, we're like, oh, we're exhausted by the end of the day, right? So spending quality time together. And also, as you said, like I've seen, for example, for everyone listening to the show right now, this show would not be possible without Ivan, who's in the background right this second, who edits and produces this show. Ivan's been going above and beyond. And when we first started working remotely, I was like, how am I going to work with Ivan to put out this content remotely when we're in the same room? And actually, it's worked pretty well so far. So you're completely right. I hope we don't go back to how things were before. Based on the conversations you're having with the team so far, have you had any? How far are you about talking about who's going to return, who's not? Do you think that now it's going to be most people are going to stay at home? What are you thinking?
We already started communicating, and this varies widely by country, and like I said, by state, even in the US, right? But definitely, they're starting communicating and allowing people to come back to the office. I will tell you, there is a lot of people that enjoy being at the office, even though they have to cover their faces with the face mask and have all these procedures, which to me might not be ideal, personally speaking. But for some people, they enjoy being in the office surrounded by others and do that every day. That's great. And we are allowing that. But little by little, obviously, we need to prioritize based on which teams need to be in the office to serve customers that get a priority, you know. But that process already started, and I think the company is managing very well. Again, we need to follow a lot of guidelines from cities and the government and coordinate with the employers. And so there is a lot that goes into that.
Yeah. Jasper Helt on LinkedIn said, he agrees with you. Budget is definitely an issue, but he loves your point about breaking down analytics silos that will uncover a lot of underutilized budget. So there are hidden, you know, dollars to be found in pretty much every company. What was the initial reaction from those leaders? Were there some people to say, no, that's my budget? Because this is quite, you know, to the title of this episode, disruptive. What was the initial reaction to the team? And how did you communicate that to them?
I think the reaction is positive. Like, there are teams already working on this and thinking about it. But the way people are thinking about it, they are looking at it based on COVID response, right? And what I'm saying is, what I'm proposing is a different thing. I'm proposing, hey, forget about just COVID. COVID is a huge component right now, but you are disrupted in many different ways. Think about it in terms of business continuity. So that's a different position, number one. And number two, you know, I just had, like I said, calls today with several of my tech, partners from different areas. And I heard today, hey, guys, we need to keep ramping up our usage of how do we support better the employee piece, and start prioritizing and based on our roadmap how they do this better. So one thing that I'm doing right now is spending a lot of time basically explaining people, hey, these are the business cases that we are working on. Here's what we can do today in a short term. And in some cases, for example, in NAM, North America, we have already processes that are very good to manage this, but in other parts of the world might not be the case, and we need to learn better from each other and leverage technologies that we're using from each other, like for contact tracing. I mean, there is a lot of cool technology out there to manage this better, and we need to leverage that better globally. But also, again, it's very hard sometimes to show to the upper level, to the C-suite, all the work that is happening in the pyramid and the background, right? It's like a huge iceberg, right? Yeah. So that's the part that we're trying to show them. And most people, once you start connecting the business case and talking about it, they get it. But, you know, in the beginning, there is always this mentality about, well, there is no budget and, you know, we have our reductions and how are we going to do that? My point to you guys is, and gentlemen and ladies, be bold, because if we don't do this year, in 2021, I guarantee you, we're going to be in a bind. We're going to be in a worse place. How are you going to do more with less if you don't have a digital team and digital talent to support it? It's going to be even harder. So the earlier you start, the better it is for everybody.
Yeah, and that's something you said when we first spoke, right?
Yeah.
And I was like, let's do this. We need to do this episode now. we spoke about this, late last week, right?
Yeah.
And then here we are on LinkedIn Live because like, we need to put this out there now. not in a few weeks from now as well. Something that's always impressed me about you, Gustavo, is, and not every people analytics leader I speak to has this skill set, is your ability to storytell. and to sell the ideas and communicate internally. And that's a huge underrated skill.
Thank you for saying that. And here's what I will say. I was seeing the other day a speech about 98% of billionaires or high performers are introverts. I can't remember the context that it was, but basically a huge percentage of those people, Warren Buffett, and so on. You see, a lot of people from Silicon Valley are introverts. This is, I would say, that plays against us in analytics, because we actually got into analytics to be behind a computer because we love the data. I didn't came to analytics to be in meetings talking about politics or be doing big presentations. I always get nervous. I'm an introvert, so I always get nervous when I do public speaking. But I know that we have to do it. And I tell my team always, hey, guys, I feel your pain. I know it's not easy. The only way to get good at it is you need to practice over and over again. So what I try to do for myself, and I appreciate the compliment, is I see myself as an okay communicator, and I always try to keep improving and improving, because I know that that plays a huge role on how do we drive change in the organization. And change management, I like it or not, is 60% of my role. So.
Yeah. For anyone listening right now who's thinking they want to follow a similar route and share this with the team, what advice would you give them? So first initial steps to take?
Yeah. So first of all, I think number one, executives are data driven. They are business driven. So you need to have the data. I share some of the slides with you, Chris, and if you feel free to share broadly to the audience, obviously.
Fine. Yeah, cool. I'll share it with everyone.
Broadly, to be honest, there are others who are listening to this chat. If you have data, information, or best practices that you're doing, obviously go ahead and do it. I have outlined basically in here high level some of the steps that I'm taking, but this is what worked for me. You need to see what's going to work for your organization, and you know best your organization. In some cases, you might have perhaps a smaller organization that can turn things quicker, and you understand how to make it work. In some cases, you might have a big organization like Walmart, which is like a country by itself, right? So there is a different way that Walmart operates, but it all depends on what you do. Just take what I'm saying, the overall concept and the part about the courage. That's the part that is important. I am not afraid to ask because I know how critical is the ask, and I have the data to back it up. Don't be afraid to ask, and you need to have your IT person, your privacy person, and your leaders align on this and go together and ask together. Because in the end, the questions that you're answering are not for one specific function. Everybody's going to get the benefit from it. That's the key bottom line. And all CEOs understand that piece. All CEOs understand value for the business, and they want the business to sustainably grow or keep relevant. So they understand that this is something that they will have to do.
What about for companies that don't have the data and the systems and tools in place? Is there a place that you think they should start, like some particular tools or software they can start gathering this type of data? Because not everyone's as advanced as you are. And many other people are listening, yeah.
Yeah, so, well, first of all, this is the Valhalla or the Nirvana for all the analytics people. Give me the data in one place that is centralized. I don't care what it is. Even if you have to use it in a SharePoint and put data in a SharePoint and it's all in one place and you can clean it, that's a very low effort, easy place to start. Make sure you have the right securities and guidelines from privacy and legal so you can have the right data for the right access of people. And then from there, start producing the reports and or the analysis that would answer the top main questions. That's a very simplistic way to start. Mm-hmm. In our case, because of the complexity and the scale of Schneider Electric with 150,000 employees and globally, we need our data lake. So we have a data lake that already started the process, right? and we already started putting some data into it, but we need to accelerate that process more, because once you have a data lake, basically you can have data from all these different places and functions, put it in one place, and now forget about your title. I am not the VP of HR, you're not the VP of finance, you're not the VP of marketing. We are trying to figure out these questions. Let's do it together with this data set, right? That's the step. And then obviously, if you have the budget to invest on some tools, like for example, we love to use Alteryx for data manipulation and cleansing. We love to use, for example, Tableau if we need to prototype quickly some reports. You know, everybody has their portfolio of analytics that they like. I have picked to have our data lake. We have some BI capabilities, Alteryx, Tableau. And then the upper layer is what I show you, the people analytics intelligence portal, which is going to be powered by ThoughtSpot, which is the AI. I mean, again, you don't have to follow my roadmap. Follow the roadmap that makes the most sense for you. But just make sure that you empower the frontline user. Don't come up with tools and analytics that are very cool for us in analytics. Make sure it's simple enough, and it gives you the ability to really free up efficiency and headcount for next year. Because next year, here is something, Chris, that most people don't talk about. When we talk about AI, we say, well, AI is going to come in and it's going to take jobs. Or AI is going to come in and it's going to realign how we utilize resources. But what we're not saying is, hey, now we're in a situation that many companies have to reduce hours, you know, or reduce the days of the week. Like in Europe, they work perhaps sometimes 3 days a week or 4 days a week. How do you get your job done in 4 days? You're one full day you are losing, right? That's why you need AI. That's what makes the difference between being able to meet your expectation or not. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah. What are the, I know you said you're pretty new in the AI platform that you developed. What are some of the questions you're hoping to answer in the coming weeks and months or business challenges using AI?
Yeah. So to me, one of the most fundamental questions that we need to answer is, are we recruiting, retaining, and developing the talent for the future? Because remember, we are making decisions based on budget sometimes, or based on geography and all this stuff, and we are not taking into account, hey, are we really looking to have a role for Chris? And instead of thinking of Chris in what he's doing today, let's say Chris is working on, I don't know, cybersecurity, right? What is really a person in cybersecurity needs to know in terms of skill set? Do we have the right skill set for the person? Do we need to upskill Chris? Or do we need to actually start recruiting from all these external data sources through job boards to make sure that we attract the right Chris for the role in the future? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And this is basically a lot of simulation. It's very hard to predict what's going to be the role that Chris in cybersecurity is going to be doing in 2021, but you can simulate and say, hey, these are the options that you might see in 2021, 2022, 2023. These are the skill sets that we're seeing in the industry, and the gaps that we see versus other more advanced organizations. Can we start investing in this kind of talent for our workforce planning? That to me is a very universal question that we're trying to answer, right?
Yeah, and one that every company,
yeah,
that is every leader that I speak to in this space every day wants the answer to.
So exactly, yeah.
You're going to get a lot of phone calls now, Gustavo. Gustavo, what are you seeing? How's it working? as well? Is there anything else that we missed, Gustavo, that you want to leave with everyone before we wrap up? Is there anything else that we've not discussed that you want to use this opportunity to share with everyone?
Well, again, I think all of us are going to this journey together. Like you mentioned, I have seen, actually, funny enough, through LinkedIn, I got a couple of people ping me and say, hey, Gustavo, I'm having a lot of issues trying to get my leadership to get on board with investing enough for people analytics. This is the reality. You have to have, in many instances, a top-down approach in now for the short term. Why? Because some organizations takes a lot of time for them to develop this. It's going to come because most people see it. Everybody sees the need. But like I said, what they don't see is that we are basically out of time now, right? We are reacting in time. So this takes a concerted effort from the board. And you have to make that pitch all the way, in my opinion, to the CEO and the board to say, hey, let's relook at organizations. Let's look at how we distribute budget. Let's look at how we distribute technology and the talent that we have to manage all this and move things forward. But again, we have a responsibility with the data. We are supposed to be good at with data, right? So the least we can do is do our favor with the business case and have the courage to ask. The last, I don't mind when people say, Gustavo, we cannot do this. But I do mind when I see a need, there is data backing it up, and we just give up on it and we say, you know, I'm not going to try because I don't know if I want to ask. No, we need to ask. This is important, and it's impacting people's life. And again, in my role, I don't care how good I am doing reportings. If I know there is an issue with safety in Singapore, or there is an issue that I can help prevent in some other area, and I might have data through, you know, external data sets that I can create a predictive model for site prevention, that's what I want to be, right? That's, to me, what drives me with the purpose. And so, again, I'm sure many of you are in the same situation. Many of you feel that you're going through the pain. Keep having the courage. We're in this together. This is a society effort, and I'm learning from other organizations and what they are doing, because I'll give you an example. There are some companies that are basically telling the government or advising the government how to best open up restaurants or bars or facilities based on the models they use for the company. So for us in corporate, you know, the least we can do is to be able to advise our governments or leaders on how do we do this, because our impact is not only for our employees, our impact is in the community. Right now, Chris, it doesn't matter how good you protect your HR leaders' team, right? If people around, if everything is on fire in the communities around your team, you are in trouble. They are in trouble. So we have to think beyond just our corporate. We need to think society-wise, how are we making a difference? That's my message.
Yeah. No, I completely agree with you. And I loved your point about, as businesses, we because most of, I'm not sure if you saw the Edelman Trust Barometer research where they speak about how most people look to their organizations now for advice and guidance before their own government, which is quite shocking, but it's understandable given what we're seeing as well. So, and there are many companies that have, like, you know, with a global remit like yourself, that have more research and insights and data than your own government, right? About what's happening around the world and the impact and how we can solve that. So it's no surprise. If you talk about kind of returning to work, I'm sure there's businesses like your own that have more rich data than that, than our own government on how to do that. So it's right that we share, because that's going to have a direct impact on the lives of everyone, not just within our business, but everyone in wider society as well. So
exactly. And that's the reason I like to do this podcast, because again, like I said, I am an introvert, so I do get nervous.
Yeah, sure you are. I'm joking.
I'll show you the data. But no.
I'm sure you will. Yeah.
No, but this is what I do this as well, because I want people to know that I don't come here to teach and preach, right? I'm coming here because I'm telling you what I know at the moment. And I'm learning through all this experience. And there is a lot of you know more than me and are more capable than me and more intelligent than me, I'm sure. So I want you also to teach us how can we do better. Because to your point, there are many companies that have data that perhaps others are not able to acquire in the first place because of the cost or whatever reason. And this is the time for us to democratize the data. We need to democratize the data from external, internal, and so on to make sure that we put people first. Employees and customers, both.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic. Well, look, it's always a pleasure having you on the show. Thank you so much for taking the time out and to share your experience with everyone on LinkedIn as well. There are a few questions we didn't get to as well. So if you get Gustavo, will hopefully check out LinkedIn.
We can do a follow up.
Yeah, and for those that are not, we set up a HR leaders community. When this all happened, we set up a separate community specifically to post all of this type of content and research in there. So if you're not already a member, go to hrdleaders.com and sign up. It's free. So you can sign in there. There's hundreds of incredible leaders that are part of it, like Gustavo as well. We share content in there on a daily basis, and it's a safe place for you to communicate. You know, not all of these conversations are, you know, you not always want to have them on LinkedIn, right? In the public forum. So if you want to have some more private conversations to share some of the challenges you're having, you can do that in the HR Leaders community. So the link's in the comments section for everyone. Apart from that, Gustavo, it's been a real pleasure. I look forward to seeing you soon. I don't know when that'll be, but I'm going to see you soon. I'm going to come say hello. I don't know how we're going
to
make that happen.
We need to have a face-to-face coffee. Be well to you and your families. And for everybody watching or listening this, please be safe. and hopefully things are going to get better. I'm optimistic. Yeah. Thank you all.